I think we've talked about this. Why is Aoki Gahara stuck in my...
I think you wanted to write an album or something about it. Or you were interested in it.
Or maybe like when I like hit like 60, 65, I'm just going to be like, this is where I'm going.
Going to Japan.
Going to Japan. I'm going to kill myself. I'm taking myself out my way.
I think what's sad
playing Frank Sinatra's My Way. Ooh, that would be a dramatic movie scene. Could you imagine just like...
I don't know what's happening.
I did it my way. Splash.
No, it would have to be the Limp Bizkit My Way.
Ooh, Colton, I like what we're on to here. There's got to be a way to combine those two. Limp Bizkit's My Way and Frank Sinatra's My Way?
Oh, that exists. It has to exist. Wait, I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, look it up. You and I are about to make some money.
L-I-M-P.
Discover. I don't like us.
I don't like anything that's happening. There is a My Way continued by AI with Limp Bizkit lyrics.
And you don't believe in the future of AI.
I don't. Yeah. I mean, I believe in the future of it.
I mean, it's going to happen. Yeah, that's without a doubt.
Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law,
and we know our rights. Are we ready? Are we ever going to be more ready?
I feel like you ask that every episode. Welcome, everybody. Welcome.
Welcome. This is a lot better. A lot better welcome than the last time that we...
Yeah, I was a little more tired last go. Sorry, everybody.
This is the long-awaited episode of Caroline Polachek.
And I'm glad we waited, because I wanted to have been able to understand how good she is.
I think it's one of those... I don't know. I'm very interested, Rob, because... The last time that I like introduced an artist to you, just like totally clean, you hadn't heard him before, I want to say it was Haim.
That's who I'm thinking of too. And honestly, I got a little reminded of it.
There's some Haim in here. I think, well, we can talk about where it is, but I'm always interested in how that kind of stuff hits your ear, because Caroline Polachek, who we're going to talk about, everybody, after the break, we're going to have a little talk before that. Welcome. If you're new, if you're not, you're also welcome, everyone.
If you're familiar with us, I really apologize for the last episode. we really talked about a World Series that had gone and went, but we had to have our moment.
It was so fresh, and I was listening to that episode that's up right now, everybody. It is it is a little bit of it's the junk drawer that, like, you open it, you didn't know you needed all the stuff that was in that junk drawer, but I appreciate it.
Same here. Same here. It's like every now and then you need those sauces from Taco Bell that you just threw into this drawer.
Well, yeah, the packets that you swear you're going to use, the rubber bands, it's a beautiful thing. And that is our opinions, everyone, on a variety of things. This garbage that you can peruse as you wish.
We were, like you said, it was fresh for us, but by the time the episode came out,
well, now we're cutting edge, baby. We're in this. We are still in our filthy 40s.
Yes, we are.
We are doing it. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. I'm not as exhausted as last episode. I don't know. There's like a fire under me right now.
I was hearing it recently. I feel like you guys are gearing up for some shows.
Ready for some shows. We're actually going to try to get vinyl for this Default American, everybody. Apparently, we're going to try to go that route with it, which inevitably means we have to put on shows.
Is this an exclusive? A Know Your Rights exclusive? Final release?
Sure. Yeah.
This is exciting.
Well, it is me getting a little ahead of myself. I'll be very embarrassed if it turns out we're not doing it, but I already know that we're already kind of putting money away for it.
Well, there you go, everybody. Money's in the bank. I look forward to that. That's pretty much the kind of vinyl I buy anymore. It's just if my friends put something out.
Oh, if you weren't purchase a vinyl, I'd be very depressed.
Is there any other medium you would, because at this stage, you can kind of have your pick. of mediums that, and also ones that are like a bit more nostalgic. Are there any other mediums that you would prefer to have your music put out on that's not vinyl?
It'd be fun to put out a CD, but who has a CD player in their car anymore?
Isn't it weird that that's like the nostalgic medium? Like, that's what I would want, is CDs again.
But it's just, it doesn't exist anymore. It's really just streaming, or if you're going to be a real collector, then you have a vinyl player at home, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like those are the only two options now.
My dad always had 8-tracks, but we never had an 8-track player, so I could never hear 8-track. I just found his collection of like Eagles 8-tracks in the garage.
Yeah. I mean, he got rid of the car that was able to play that years and years ago. But unfortunately, those are the only two real mediums. It's either stream or you look like a badass and you have your little vinyl.
What is the cassette tape craze, though? Because I think Alex put out The Hermit on cassette. I think a few people have done that. I know Jesse Williams was always trying to release things on cassette. I mean, we both grew up in the age of the tape. My sisters always had like singles. Sure. We had records on cassette. I don't miss those days, though.
Not at all. I don't miss having to intentionally grow out my index finger's nail just so I can reel everything back in when shit went bad.
We recently just went through our garage and found my wife's old collection of VHS. And it's like real, like, you know, the box set, Sex in the City VHS tapes, the the huge Titanic 2-part VHS.
I remember that for sure.
Yeah. Some real good finds that I could not believe existed at one point that I loved. And I kept thinking, man, I don't miss VHS at all. Like the rewinding it, the things getting messed up and you have to get like a pen or something in there to flip it around.
Yeah, it's nostalgic. I'll be honest with you. I have a collection of VHS that for some reason I can't get rid of. Like the nostalgia factor is too heavy. And you're like, I'm just going to hold on to this. It's not even me thinking I'm going to sell it later. I just can't let go.
It's the same reason why my huge like leather case of CDs that I've kept in my car since high school that still has like sticky pages from the soda, part of which I spilled. I think some of it's soda that you spilled.
Probably
in the back intentionally of my car. And like the CDs are never going to get played again, but I'm like, hey, but you know, maybe I keep them around. I don't know.
Why not? It's just one freaking booklet. You can find a spot. There's probably some wobbly table you can slide it under
in the future. Who knows? But I'm excited for that, man. I think that is, from what I have heard, I know we talked about this last episode, everyone at length, but this is going to be a very cool release.
I think it's going to be a good album. I think people will enjoy it. But we digress.
We have serious things to talk about.
Coulter Robbins is not dead.
It's not dead. It's never going to be dead. It is the future.
That's right. I'm going to keep breathing life into this every single episode.
Eventually, I'm just hoping you're going to tucker yourself out. We're going to run out of things to predict.
I watch sports. It's going to be easy for me to find something to predict. The Lakers are going to defend the NBA Cup. They're going to do it.
If you're unfamiliar listener who thought you were listening to a music podcast, the NBA Cup is the NBA's weird attempt to make the middle of the season
more relevant during football season.
It's a thing. And the winners get money.
All of the games have been good so far for the NBA Cup. I mean, did you watch Klay Thompson come back to Golden State?
I did not watch the game, but I watched the highlights.
That was a hell of a game. And I watched it because of you know, just the gravity of Klay Thompson coming back home. And I think your Golden State Warriors did a very good job of welcoming him back and doing like a tribute to him.
I feel bad. I did see like the hat thing. I thought that was immensely cheesy. The like tipping the hats to Klay.
Nothing wrong. You know why they were all wearing the captain's hats, right?
Oh, of course. It's his boat. It's fine. It's just, I don't know. It's, I guess my grouchy side is always going to be there. But I don't think he cared that much also. To his credit, he just wanted to play.
I think he nodded his head and just went like, I appreciate you guys. Cool. Having that little row of freaking Oracle like Arena over rich
tech bros on the court side with their hats going, hey, Clay. Like, I can't watch Warrior games to see like what's happened to like moving to San Francisco and just seeing all these like filthy rich, just tech capitalist, just losers like lined up with their vests and stuff. I know I'm ranting everybody, but it makes me so upset that Oakland has been stripped of.
There are two classes in San Francisco, rich or dirt poor.
Well, and you don't see like, everyone that you can see on the floor. That's the latter for sure.
Probably in the seats behind too. But it was such a good game watching it. And it was the in-season tournament. And I do think it adds a little bit of spice to an NBA game.
So you think the Lakers have it in them to repeat?
I do. Why do you not?
I mean, to be honest, that's fine. I would prefer they did, because I think that's part of why they ran out of steam for the finals. So if we're talking about Mickey Mouse championships, that is the most Mickey Mouse
of until the Warriors win it. Once the Warriors win it, in which Steph put on an unbelievable performance in game one. Well,
they're looking okay. They're 2-0. Whatever that point differential is, which is why, by the way, when I watched the Warriors and the Grizzlies game, I was like, why are the Grizzlies drawing this out? What's going on? And I forgot. It's all the point differential people care about.
Wait. Are you talking about Lakers, Grizzlies?
No. Warriors and Grizzlies. This happened.
The Warriors? Okay.
Yeah. The Warriors won, and they were winning handily, and the Grizzlies just kept gnawing away, trying to like close a 20-point gap. And I was like, why? And then I realized...
The Mavericks? Are you thinking the Mavericks on this one?
I swear to God, the Grizzlies and the Warriors played a game 2 days ago. You can look the score. With my own eyes, I saw it. So let's put it down on lock. Rob's Culture Robbus prediction.
Lakers are going to defend the title.
That's fine. You know what? And I hope they do. With Bronny. I hope Bronny gets in there and...
No.
Just...
I love Bronny, but...
You don't love... What do you love about Bronny? That he's LeBron's son?
The way he's handling the pressure of everything. He's trying to stay humble. He seems like a team player. He's not complaining about anything. He's in the G League
right now, right?
Kind of.
Well, you can't hear him complain. He's...
No, he's on the bench. Like, they're already talking about him not actually going on road trips with the G League. But regardless, you don't hear him say anything, which I kind of like. I'm not trying. That sounds fucked up. Like, I'm like, dude, just shut up, buddy. But I like the fact that he's not trying to defend himself. He's trying to earn it. He's going about it the right way. He's the 55th pick overall. I get it. See if you can.
You took all the fun out of me bringing this up with as reasonable a response as you had. I got nothing. I have no mean things to say about a relative stranger that I don't know. Relative.
I like relative thrown in there.
Well, I want to bring this back because I have a Culture Robbus prediction, and mine is music related.
Uh-oh.
I am looking at...
Default American gets a Grammy.
Okay. I'm looking at the 2024 Grammy Award for Album of the Year, the nominees. I'm going to read them out to you.
All right. Please do.
Do you know who they are, the nominees? You don't care. I don't care.
No, I never.
Most listeners shouldn't. Well, you should not care, listener. Yeah. Okay. Cowboy Carter, of which we have actually discussed that album on this podcast, yes, by Beyonce. New Blue Sun by Andre 3000. We have also discussed.
Yes, we have.
Very briefly, New Blue Sun.
A lot of flute.
This is where I'm going to embarrass myself. De Jesse Volume 4, Jacob Collier. I don't know who that is. I don't know.
Same here.
Short and Sweet, Sabrina Carpenter. Vaguely discussed on this podcast.
Yeah.
The Tortured Poets Department, Taylor Swift. The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess, Chapel Roan. I really did think it was Chappelle. I think we both did. A long time. Brat by Charlie XCX. Have you heard anything, any of Brat?
I haven't heard anything, but I've heard about her.
That's fair. She was the person that was on Fancy. She sang the fancy hook, which was not a bad track.
I'm assuming we're not talking about Reba McEntire.
No. I'm so fancy.
Yeah. Never mind. One chance, fancy. Don't let me down.
That's God bless you.
Yeah.
God bless you, my friend. But it's Brad is not bad. I actually heard it, and I mean, it's very not my jam in that it's like super dance electro.
That kind of seems like your jam these days.
It isn't. It isn't. Embrace
the dance.
We're going to talk about Polachek because I think that's what you're getting to here. And then Hit Me Hard and Soft, which is Billie Eilish, is the final. Couldn't be less up my alley, this entire list.
I mean, I love Billie Eilish. I really like Billie. I like Billie Eilish. I like songs by Billie Eilish.
Name one song. I feel like a Billie Eilish.
One where she's like really breathy, that like, I used to be.
That does not help anyone. Really breathy?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm playing it in the background right now, everybody. This is a very familiar. It's a really like sad song to where she's talking about how like, but I don't know what to do. I can't remember the name of the fucking song, all right? But it's a beautiful tune. Billie Eilish is cool.
I think When the Party's Over is the track I'm the most familiar with and I'm fond of Billie Eilish. I mean, we're talking about like a realm of popular music that I think both Rob and I watch from afar all the time. And we haven't had this conversation. We've had attempts at, right, to talk about like songwriting's relationship to pop music. We just talked about Thriller, which
yes, we did.
I think was a really great kind of first true pop album for us to really dive into.
I think so too.
Probably the best of all time. I don't know. That feels like a crazy thing to say.
Rest in peace, right. Quincy. Yeah. For Quincy, I'll say yes.
Oh man, we didn't do that, but I'm sorry.
I don't think we did. Yeah, I don't think we're responsible.
The timing was
91
awful.
Years old. 91 years old. Okay. He was.
I'm happy.
He was closer to the end.
I'm happy that for a small corner of the internet, we got to talk about how great Quincy Jones was. Yeah. I don't think people needed to hear us talk about it, but I'm glad for us that we got to. But
I wanted to hear you talk about it, and I'm glad I got to.
When I look at that list though of Grammy nominees, one of course
best album, right?
Best album, yeah. I think, of course, the Grammys don't matter. But two, I'm going to say Culture Robis.
Here we go.
One, the album that least deserves to be on here is Andre 3000.
I don't think he's going to win.
Well, I don't think so either. I think it's insane that he was nominated. But that's okay.
It's cool, though. I'm glad. Happy for
him. I want Brat to win, but I think it's going to be Swift. Tortured Poets Apart.
All right. I can meet because the two out of you that you mentioned, I was like, oh, Taylor Swift is probably gonna, she's just because of the politics of the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
It's either gonna be her or Beyonce. And it's in my prediction, it's Beyonce. Beyonce's gonna get it.
I just don't know if she has the capital. And this is all, it's funny because we just recognize none of the quality of the albums play any role in this. It is, like you said, it's purely political. I have to vote on the dominance of Swift. And so everyone lock it in. I'm calling it Culture Robis, Taylor Swift. May God have mercy on us all.
Taylor Swift for you. I'm going to go Beyonce on this one. And it's gonna mean a lot next episode. When is the Grammys? I thought it was like in January.
These Grammys are not for a while. But you know what? When is the NBA tournament?
It'll probably be done by the next episode.
Well, I screwed up, everyone. But you know what? Lock it in anyway. I'm looking at it. I was recently aware of
just
them.
Just go for your Warriors. They're
in
it.
I don't care. I don't want. Here's the thing. I don't want them to win because I don't want them to. The reason the Warriors at this stage are in peril is if they start to lose depth in that rotation. So the less of those games they have to play, to me, the better. Them playing those like high minute games for this tournament, to me, is a... it's a waste.
I'm gonna go major Culture Robis here. The Lakers are gonna get further in the NBA playoffs than the Warriors.
The Lakers are not making the playoffs.
Why?
How's that for Culture Robis?
Okay. All right. That's your stance. Do you have any defense on that? Or is it just hatred for LeBron James?
No, now I'm just in it. Now I'm just in Culture Robis, right, the zone. And I am
This is some long-term Culture Robis going
on
here. And
for the record, who here is the Culture Robis reigning champion? Dodgers in five.
I got the one before it. We're tied.
Okay, that's fine. That's well, now I feel silly.
No championships in a tie. Come on, man.
Oh my God.
So, we're going to start talking about Caroline Polachek here in a minute. And Colton, I'm so glad you brought me here to, I don't think I ever would have heard it.
Well, this is, I can talk a bit when we get rolling about how I discovered it, but it's the power of the algorithm is my,
there it is,
my way, man, of putting this. And I've heard a lot of people make, I think, very reasonable criticisms of how algorithms work. But I also, I've been on record as saying this. I think it makes sense that it's from an industry that relied on people being able to generate opinions and recommendations of music. That's like the pitchforks and that. And I understand why that matters, right? That they want that to matter. But to me, it's all one and the same. And I don't.
I don't know what you just said right there. Yes, I appreciate.
I think the algorithm is a beautiful thing, or not. It's a thing. But
what's the algorithm? Is this like just like
what pops up on your YouTube feed? What up to just randomly? I mean, why did Chatpile just show up on my YouTube one day, and now I can't stop listening to Cool World? I am all about that record.
See, it's interesting. Like my algorithm. When you say algorithm, I think Instagram.
Oh, it's this. I mean, there is no one. I say the for dramatic purposes, but there's no like the algorithm. But yeah, there's one on Instagram.
I think I'm gonna try YouTube, because my Instagram algorithm has turned into like AI generated art of combining two different animals, and I don't like myself because it compels the hell out of me. Later, I'm like, I wonder what a cheetah mixed with a polar bear looks like. Speaking, I want to play a video game with these characters that they're creating.
Speaking of dystopian hellscapes that are going to overtake us.
I feel like it helps me escape the dystopia that we are living in.
Yeah.
A moment of just like simple relief. Nice and ordinary. Just like, oh, that looked kind of cool.
That's another culture, Robis, that I don't want to dive into, is what the future is going to look like in a couple of months.
The election. I don't know which was more depressing, the election or Mike Tyson getting.
Oh my God,
that was sad.
I didn't see it. The thing is, I don't care about Mike Tyson either. Like, I think it's weird that
fair.
There's been a recuperation of Mike Tyson that I'm not prepared for, but I.
But if you had to choose between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul.
I mean, I don't even rate Jake Paul as a person. Like, I don't know what he is.
So Mike Tyson's a person. So
the rapist, yeah. But yeah, I'm sorry, man. I gotta yuck. Everybody's yum. But
that's all right. That's all right. These things happen. He served time for it. I'm not saying that it makes it okay.
Let's
go to our commercial break, huh?
If you're looking for fun events, awesome music, and enjoyable podcasts, then look no further. The Baseball and Entertainment family has you covered. With so many talented people in our community, it was only right that we not only bring you events, but all sorts of awesome entertainment. Follow Baseball on social media or join our Discord community to stay updated and engaged in everything. That is at Baseblown on social media and discord.gg/baseblown for our Discord. Baseball Entertainment, bringing you more than just bass in your face.
Welcome to the Siren Songbook, a podcast where we discuss female artists, their music, their history, and the impact they've made on the music industry. Join us each month as we pick a new inspirational artist and celebrate exactly what it is that makes them so magical.
You can listen to new episodes of the Siren Songbook on Spotify every last Wednesday of the month. The Siren Songbook, a Baseball Entertainment podcast.
We're back, everybody.
Yes, we are.
Welcome. We're gonna dive into our Caroline Polachek discussion, and we're just doing two albums that are labeled under Caroline Polachek. So that's Pang and then Desire, I Want to Turn Into You, which I always get as Dive Into, because I think that's the lyric on the song. It's a thing, but I appreciate it. There's actually a couple of records, actually a few that she's done before this.
Yeah, she did, what was it, under the name Ramona Lisa.
Ramona Lisa, and then she had an EP, or maybe it was a full length for a CEP right before she did Caroline Polachek.
Yeah.
I have not heard either of those, and I really have not heard a ton of Chairlift,
yeah,
the previous band she was in.
And if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember, was it Ramona Lisa where she like kind of recorded more just like literally laptop recording?
I think it was. Yeah, I think she called it something like pastoral electronic music or something to that effect.
She's so good with words. I read a lot of interviews and watched a couple of interviews to where she is very articulate. She has such a cool way of describing things.
The word I keep thinking of when I listen to like these two albums too, like things that to me work really well, is there's just like a coolness that like those like real like bona fide, I think, just like entertainers and artists have.
Artists where, is what I would go off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In this case, for sure. Where it's, there are things that she does that I don't think would work with everyone. Mm-hmm. Like when she just starts to do a kind of version of rapping in the middle of my island. And I'm like, does this work? And yet I'm like, yeah, I think it works for me. It's yeah, pretty
let's
great.
Not get too ahead of ourselves on this one.
we're already hitting Rob's limits, which I appreciate. But I'm also getting ahead. I've just discovered her, my own self, from just my YouTube feed randomly popping in So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings. And it's, I guess this is me embracing some of my dancier side, as you alluded to.
I can see it. That song, right when I read the title, I initially thought, like, I'm not going to like this. And I listen to it, and I'm like, I like it. I also get pissed off at Brad Pitt.
Show me the banana. That's what it's all about. I think it is the kind of perfect gateway drug to her stuff, though, because, and I can't speak for what's before. I've heard little snippets of Chairlift. Mm-hmm. The reason I wanted to listen to her with you, Rob, is we were having our discussion about Thriller, and it was getting me to think about just pop music overall and like my experience with it. And I think I may have phrased this wrong when I was talking to you about it at that moment. But when I hear like Caroline Polachek, and there's like a wave of like her contemporaries, right? There's Dua Lipa, there's Charlie XCX, yeah, there's Taylor Swift, amongst others. I think there is some interesting directions that I've seen pop music go into while not really being a participant of it. I think this to me is what I like. This is about as poppy as I can get while also recognizing it's just really interesting, kind of experimental music to me too. I think
what was the term that they used for it? And I think it's the best description for the genre she's in, because you could use numerous different descriptions, but I think the most accurate one was avant pop.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think there's what's interesting to me in the moments where she kind of takes on that more traditional like pop singer. Like you can hear like on the second record, especially Desire I Want to Turn Into You.
I agree.
You. And she even calls it out where she's like, this is my Celine Dion song, right? And she's
a little playful, a little bit alien Celine Dion.
But, exactly. And yeah. But you can see her also turning the genre into interesting ways, and like the key changes, and like the just like the ways that a lot of her melodies just like mutate and seem to like flow in and out of major minor. And it's funny, I was giving the Deer Hunter a relative hard time with this, right? Like, but there's something
well deserved, Casey.
Yeah, hey Casey, I know you're listening, sorry buddy. it's too many. But there's something about the way that her songs mutate. I think because it's working from that like tree of pop that it always is just, I'm always interested by a song she does. I'm not always like over the moon in love with it, but it's an interesting experience.
I have the same reaction. Just because it's so nuanced by these pop sensibilities, but treated in a different light. Like when you mentioned her contemporaries, the people that you would probably, you know, based off of the algorithm, who would probably pop up. Mm-hmm. She has the most artistic, like her and like Sia. Mm-hmm. You know, like those are that's what I kind of hear to her. I'm like, I hear, like if you talk Taylor Swift, you talk what's the name of the other lady? I always forget her name. You just brought it up. Not Dua Lipa, but the other one.
Oh, at Charlie XCX?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like when I think of those three as her contemporaries, I think of them as a lot more straightforward pop.
Right. Dua Lipa especially, to her credit, but I agree with you.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. It's just hearing Caroline Polachek and listening to these two albums, there's a real artistic pining behind
it. I agree.
It. And that's what really dragged me in. Like, just listening to the first couple of tracks, I already could tell that there's going to be this stylistic thing that I'm not typically going to listen to, but just her as an artist is already pulling me in. The way she's imagining the music is unique and fun.
And it's funny because when I listen to her, the people that I think of, and she's been compared to some of these. Like, so Kate Bush is a name that gets used a lot. And I love
Kate Bush.
Yeah. And that makes tons of sense, right? There's a few others. I actually, Enya. Enya, which is like weird. Like, there's something.
Enya was one of the first things I thought of.
Yeah, and like Sade, which I get that too. Yeah. Caroline Polachek is an incredible vocalist, like opera trained vocalist. Oh,
she has so many arias in, like, there are so many moments within the songs. There's one in particular later on that I'm going to bring up that, I'm just like, oh, this is such a cool collision of styles, but she can just, her falsetto is second to none.
The it's ethereal is the word I use. And it's like Enya, and by the way, I feel like I'm like outing myself as a huge Enya head. I'm not. I just heard that like infomercial about like crazy music over and over. What was it called? That like something moods. It was like, crazy weird music.
I think I know what you're talking about, but I'm not gonna
listener, if you can remember the name of that infomercial for that CD, email us. There we go. What, Rob?
No, dot your dot rights. podcast@gmail.com
And we're no longer telling you how to spell it because
Jesus, WRITES that's the only word that's spelled.
Oh, KNOW also.
That's right.
And YOUR.
Yeah.
Okay.
PAUDKAST.
Okay. I was about to give you, and I realized you did it on purpose. I was like, my guy, I'm sorry. But yeah, it is the word I used to is like it's transportive to me. And one album in particular, like this is like prime like grading music for me, which is just Take Me to Another Plane of Existence, which I'm in currently like desperate for escapism, like take me to a place where I'm not stressed about things. And man, there's something about it that I told you earlier, I felt relative frustration with like rock music and folk music, like stuff that's really like close to me.
Yeah.
And it's like seeking out artists like Caroline Polachek that, I mean, if you hear like Rob, you have heard stuff that I've been messing with, and I'm more interested in stretching out soundscapes than I used to be. And there's artists like Caroline Polachek that are kind of influencing me in that.
And I would love to hear a Caroline Polachek influenced Colton Saylor album. Not Coltrane. Can
it's
we
coming.
Just slow down?
It's coming down the pipes. You heard it first, but also, but down the pipes is about as general a phrase as I can use. Your friend Robbie can tell you. He is desperately trying to get me to send him music. And I think luckily your guys finishing your album kept him off my back because I feel bad. I've been
a
little bit distracted.
You take your time. but I appreciate the fact that she reaches out to, like, it feels like to any and everything is that's what I hear on these two albums. I don't hear like a limited songwriting approach. Maybe you could possibly limit it to maybe modern soundscapes to where it's going to be a lot more digital.
Mm-hmm.
But she still branches out into like some acoustic stuff. And
funny enough, do you know like the artists and album that I am like thinking of most, and I think it's especially with Pang, but I could think of it in the second album too. It's just how eclectic it is. And that's Sound of Animals Fighting, Lover the Lord Has Left Us.
That's not bad because it has a similar experimental quality to it.
And experimental to the fact where it's not even necessarily in the songs themselves, although those they are, right? Experimental and like how they're composed in that. It's more just, if it's the first time through, you have no idea what you're in for track to track. Like you have literally no idea with the Sound of Animals Fighting. What is the next thing? Is it going to be like a crooner talking about like monsters?
To an extent. With Sound of Animals Fighting, I still had a little bit of an idea to where I'm like, this is still going to be a little bit more hard rocky.
Listen to that album again. That one, especially that one, gives me some.
Well, yes, there's the one song to where I can do the random kind of chant. I can't remember the name of the song. Sounds Animals Fighting. But
I guarantee you will not remember it in a million years because it's probably very long.
I'm not going to remember the song title for sure. Yes. If the song comes on, I'm going to be able to sing along. But, but yeah, like with Pang, for example, out the gate. The first song is The Gate, and it's soothing, but right when I was listening to it, I don't know what I'm in store for, because the song's so short and brief, and it feels like it's creating this it's the gate, out the gate, you know. It's just like, it's already, I'm like, ooh, I think she's going for something here.
It's a very, that record to me is so, like, it's so conscientious of how each song, I think, is setting up each one. And you've already mentioned, it speaks to just what I think is her like high level of artistry. She's so interested in these thematics that tie her records together. And it feels like in both records, there's a kind of like ongoing interest in like desire and like the kind of vulnerability of like being with someone. And it's, I think The Gate coupled with Parachute, and like the way the record kind of
the beginning and the end.
Yeah. It's such an interesting, like, we were just talking about the importance of track listing, right? And it's such a great like experience.
I'm glad you brought up Parachute too, because I don't have it in any of my categories, but it's such a wonderful closer to that album. And I'm sure we're going to talk about the album to a further extent later on, but just the fact, like, her describing her hopping out of a plane and the wind shifting, you know, and she's stuck and she has to depend on this parachute. And just at the end when she lands, and that's the end of the album, I was like, that's fucking artistry. That's real fucking song. That's storytelling. That song was a wonderful closer to an incredible album. But man, that's special.
I feel like we've kind of given away the maybe game, but, you know, who cares? There's two records, people. It's an either or. And but let's start with best song. And everyone, our categories, if you're unfamiliar, it's been a minute since we've done these categories. It's kind of nice. We have best song,
worst song. It's going to be a minute after this.
It's going to be a minute after, for sure. Best song, worst song, underrated, overrated, the definitions of which change to our whim. It will change again today. Best album, worst album, which in this case is just one album and then the other album. But here we go. So, Buddy, would you like to get us started? Best song?
Sure, I can start. I got to do my honorable mentions. Butterfly Net is fantastic. the first half of Pang, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
But, fucking Look At Me Now.
Oh, that's so good.
It's beautiful. And she discusses so many things just the fact that the album's name is Pang, and when she talks about like friends asking like if you've lost weight, you know, and she already brought up that it's like Pang was the reason she titled the album this, is because, you know, like she was having a tough time sleeping, which she felt like sped up her metabolism. And just that chorus, would you come back into that chorus? I think I had the lyrics pulled up. Hold on, give me a sec here.
And you can look at me. I mean, I can't though, and that's the thing. That falsetto, man. The you can't. That you already mentioned it. It's like acrobatic. It really is.
Yeah. Just. I don't know. I will give her a little bit of shit where she says, I wrote myself a letter, just a single question. And I'm like, oh, you follow it with two questions, but all right, that's fine.
That's Caroline. Come on. You know, that's two questions.
You can do better.
No. just two questions. I guess it wouldn't work as much.
But I love the fact that, like, leading into both the choruses, she says the, now rewind the tape back to the start, said, I never leave you, but here we are. And you can't look at me now. I feel like everybody can identify with this. It's the emotional landscape, just the way that she's able to be so brutally honest within her songs in general. But in this song, it also kind of feels the most organic to me.
On that record especially. And yeah. And I've heard, like, I want to say it's her, although it could be, like, my, like, research has been a lot, but it's also absorbing who said what. I believe it was her. So this is her, like, jewel kind of a song.
Yes.
Which
yes.
Makes total sense.
The Lilith Fair song.
right. And it but yet it doesn't feel that out of place.
No. It still has the sonic soundscapes that kind of fit throughout the entire album, but it's just so bare and it's minimum and just like kind of the percussive element with just a finger snap instead of a snare drum or something. And it did seem like a song when I was listening to it. I'm like, oh, are we going to go big? But she shows that restraint that I think you and I are becoming bigger and bigger fans of. Mm-hmm. Like somebody keeping it like a little more minimalist. You don't have to go and just punch everybody in the face. Just let it breathe the way it's supposed to. And this song, it's the best one to me.
It is really, really great. And I'm happy that it's one that you found out, because I would say my first time through with Pang, like before I did this exercise with you, that was probably my number one. Because like you said, it's like at its core, it's just a really good, like, acoustic kind of folk song. It really is.
And I feel silly because I feel like I'm going to try to cover it and I know I'm not going to do it justice.
Oh, I would love to see you cover it though. And there's like, I hope when I say this, like, I think it's impossible for it to not sound facetious, but I'm going to try.
Okay.
You don't expect with certain kinds of genres for the lyrics to hit as hard as they do, or at least I don't. Right. And we're talking about the kind of pop arena of which this is, it's avant pop. Like we've said, it's art pop. Even there, I think in like most art pop that I'm aware of, the lyrics are not the draw as much as they are like, you know, things that are layered on top of what I really think is like the art of pop, right? If you're going to look at it that way, the like the kind of catchiness of the hooks, but it's also the way the music runs with it, the melody especially. I think this is a great example, like you mentioned, of as like kind of diary-esque as the lyrics are, they're also really smartly composed. Like it's not just about kind of cutting herself open and like showing all that vulnerability. She does it in really interesting ways.
And very intentional. Like she's trying to get a release of her emotions. And honest, I think, is the best compliment I can give to any lyric.
Yeah.
You know, and this song completely comes across that way. And really the album that it's featured on, it highlights that much more of the album as well.
Yeah. Trying to find the light switch in the dark, burying the good girl I know I'm not. It's good lines, man.
Yeah.
And dark and not. I'm such a fan of rhymes. Like it shouldn't rhyme, and yet it's parts of swagger too.
It's Eminem talking about like, no, you can rhyme something with orange. You can say porridge, but it just depends on how you say it. And I know that that's kind of, I'm not trying to be condescending to anybody, but it's a very truthful thing. It just depends on how you accent it.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like you said, dark, not, it's, that's so good.
It's great, man. This makes me very excited for this episode already. I struggled with this because I have a couple.
I did too.
My number two, I just decided to kick down to my underrated because I just had no other option. I don't know what to tell you. But I think for me, best song is Sunset.
We're kind of on similar boats here.
Are we on the boat? Because I think
yes, for as Sunset's much as incredible.
So much of Pang is great. I think Sunset is it's maybe one of her more straightforward songs. But it is the way that like acoustic, and I don't think that's acoustic. And she's playing a lot of this, right? And I think it almost looks like a song stick, right? There's like traveling guitars that she's playing on in the video. It's got melody.
It's got a little bit of that flamenco vibe, like very Spanish guitar style.
Yeah, and it's got the hand claps, the snaps. It's so tight in how it's structured. And I mean, it's funny. Those strums in that sound very familiar to the way like Tom Petty uses those like strums in his choruses and stuff. There's just there and they're gone.
I can definitely see how the right hand's behaving. Yeah.
It's very interesting. I don't know, man. It's not even, I think, her most lyrically profound. It's a pretty basic metaphor that it's based on, but it's such a fun ride. It's so good.
And it's what I was saying before, to where it's like she does this little like operatic aria at the end of it.
Do you want to try it or should I?
Neither one of us should do it.
It's playing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
The fact that she's combining that with, like I said, like that Spanish guitar, and it's such a unique collaboration or collision of musical styles that I don't think many people are going to be that brave or really that talented enough to pull off.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, there are some moments where I go like, hey, Caroline, you don't have to do it every fucking song. But in this song, wonderful.
And it's all about, I think when you have a melody that works, like, I think we've both had struggles with, like, when you, there's like a very obvious melody and like, do you just follow it and just like let it go? And so like, if the guitar is playing the da 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 da, it's her also singing to that, gonna like ruin it. But I think it's such a smart play because it just makes the melody feel that much more acrobatic when it's like working with that little like string melody run. And it's, and then when it opens to those kind of operatic moments like you're talking about, it is such a release. And that's what's to me so interesting, is for how much electronica and like production goes into that record specifically, the draw is still the voice. Right.
Oh, without a doubt. And I think you nailed it. Like, I like that you chose the term like acrobatic. But it's just like, to me, that cadence is excellent. It kind of goes back to Thriller. There's the percussiveness to the voice.
I agree with that.
You know, like, it's like, while it's a great melody, it's just the way that she just hammers in those syllables within it is, again, it's kind of a clinic.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking fantastic. So there's a few others I could dive into, but I'm gonna save my bullets here because I got a few more.
Can I just let me just get a quick category out of the way? It was the easiest. That was my underrated song. That was the one that I just felt like, I'm like, this needs more appreciation.
And it's funny because the overrated, this is one of those more easier overrateds to choose.
Yeah.
And it's all based on our Spotify like reasoning, but when you see the difference between her most overrated to all other tracks, it's like, please listen to Sunset more. Cause I actually think, well, I mean, God, okay. So How You're Hurting Your My Feelings, for as I think as tight as those pop sensibilities are, Sunset is like the level up. Like it is like made for radio. Like, it's, and it's funny, I guess it's flamenco, I know it's like Spanish tinge, it's the best kind of Shakira I can think of.
And didn't she, during this time frame, didn't she end off going to Barcelona, or I'm sorry, Barcelona?
You would know better than I would.
I read the Wikipedia, but I maybe I'm just mixing up some of my horrible memory, but I'm pretty sure that she actually went out there at one point in time. Which it kind of makes it that much cooler to me. And I hope I'm not just imagining things here.
I mean, for sure, there's so much global influence, like on that record specifically, that it doesn't surprise me. And I think that's also why that song is such a breath of fresh air, because it's...
Can I kind of say this, dude? Like, I'm jealous when I was reading her Wikipedia tour, I was like, you're just traveling the fucking globe, recording during a fucking pandemic.
And I mean, she's a model. She's a songwriter. She's a her like wedding to her ex-husband was featured in Vogue as one of the top fall weddings of that year.
Hell of a life.
She's had a life.
The cool thing is, at least she's still. I'm like, I can hear the artist in there. I don't hear.
It makes you root for her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. So my I'll get us rolling a little snake draft here for worst song. I note you're underrated though. I actually think this one to me is pretty simple. It's Fly to You off of Desire, I Want to Turn Into You. It's featuring Grimes and Dido.
This is your worst song.
Worst song. Yeah. Least favorite / kind of worst. It's the most like straight up electronica. And I think part of that, and this is, I'm like trying to protect feelings. I think it's like kind of her playing down a little bit. Like it is way more straightforward, way more traditional, and just feels so boring.
it in doesn't the middle feel, of that record. It doesn't feel like a real emotional centerpiece. It doesn't feel like you bring in Dido and you bring in what's her name?
Grimes.
And nothing against you, Grimes. I didn't really like that. Like, I pull you closer. Like,
closer, lyric. ring closer. Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
I hated
that. That little fluctuation kind of bummed me out.
Not great.
And I'm a big Dido fan. Actually, like, White Flag is one of my favorite songs.
I love Dido. I own that record. I asked for that for my birthday after Stan came out. I loved her singing so much that I got No Angel. It's a good CD.
Yeah, it's a very good CD. But yeah, this just seemed more like a stunt, for lack of a better word. You know, just like, let's just get us three female vocalists in, and three very imaginary, I don't know if that's not the right word, I'm like, but like imaginative,
yeah,
artists together. And it just doesn't feel like it executes the way it's supposed to. Honestly, Colton, we're just dancing around each other because this is my overrated song.
We're gonna get in and out of here, buddy. Yeah, we gotta
I got a place to be, man. No, but that's how I felt about the song, to where it doesn't feel like it's really the potential of all three of them.
Yeah, the best thing to me that Fly to You does is right after, what is it, it's Blood and Butter, right after, when the bagpipes does the melody to Fly to You. To me, that's the reason it's on the record. I'm like, well, in that case, okay. But it halts all the momentum of that album.
It's dangerous territory, because if you bring in, say I wrote a song, like, or Robbie and I wrote a song for Default American.
Fault. Okay, fair.
And we have like two verses designated for you and Joe.
Put me on there, buddy. I'm ready.
Yeah. But it's like, you, Joe, very close friends of the band.
Mm-hmm.
Even if your vocal tracks suck, we have to put them up.
Are you trying to say something to me right now? Like, what's the message you're trying to send?
I think that's what this song has. To where it's like, this song didn't have to be there, but at the same time, because the effort was put in by three individual artists,
yeah, it's like,
she has no choice. It's not like she can cut it and say, you know what, this song's not that good, so I'm just not going to put it on there. Because
it's a B-side, I think, is a nice way to put it. It's like, hey, I would love to hear Dido sing with Caroline Polachek. That's what it is.
Of course. Yeah. And even at the end, when they do the little mashup of Grimes and Caroline singing at the same time, and then they outro it with Dido and her lyrics from her verse, I was like, well, you tried to save it.
It's not equal to its parts. The sum is...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, I guess, just by nature of it being the least, like, unique, least of any kind of, like, identifying trait, it stands out to me. But I'm very curious, what is your worst song?
This is my worst song, too. Mm-hmm. It's not my least favorite song. Welcome to My Island, I don't like. I don't like that song.
I both disagree and completely understand. I both am like, hey, buddy, slow down. That's a jam.
I'm not saying that she's not being creative. It's just, it's tonally not what I want to hear her do.
Yeah. I get it.
when she says, welcome to my eye, like, it's, and then nothing in between those verses, which are kind of rappy.
I have to quote her. Can I quote her talking about this song?
Please do.
Talking about it, she says, the song was a puzzle that went through a million versions to arrive at maximum brat mode. Additionally, she says, while I was writing this song, I almost saw this from the point of view of egg trapping the sperm. It's maniacal, huge ego. This is the brattiest song I've ever made. I needed to go full brat rant mode. I don't think attitude-wise I've ever really gotten to tear into this feeling of conflict and frustration.
What did I tell you about her and her interviews?
It's great.
She is so articulate.
It's great, but
and I... yet this song happens. it's just not a good song. I don't think it's a good song, and very rarely do we have the opening track be the least favorite.
I'm certain me, the lover of all openers, I know what's happening at least once.
But yeah, no, it's just this one... I got nervous about the album when I listened to this first track.
Is this opener worse than Fear Inoculum?
No.
As an opener?
No.
Both have, like, both there's have emotional. Spoken
yeah, the, you're right. There's the kind of little discussive type of vocal approach that
my mother's father. I like it, man. Here's the thing. I'm going to put in a very brief defense because okay. I think you've made a very good point.
No, you don't.
It was not what I was expecting because I've heard Pang and I was waiting for this record to come out. And I don't think this was the first single, but this was, I think, one of the first kind of bigger singles when the album was, like, actually announced. Mm-hmm. And my thought was exactly yours. It's like, this is not what I was expecting. This is not really what I was wanting, perhaps, right? Yeah. I think that maybe part of the issue with this song is also maybe just what the record is doing that's so different. It's so much, whereas Pang was so reserved.
I think she used the term maximalist
for
Desire.
Yeah, and it is definitely that. And there's, I appreciate, though, like the lyricism and like talking about like kind of like isolation. And there's a kind of like, I mean, it's like she could be addressing someone else, but I feel like to me, it's also like addressing yourself, like when you are kind of trapped in your own body. And there's a kind of like loneliness if you like end up not liking the person you are. Like that's where to me, like the lyric, "Hope you like me because you ain't leaving." There's a kind of resonance there. It's fun, but I can't,
without a doubt,
I guess you're, I think you're, as I'm trying to defend it, I think you're convincing me.
Well,
I can't find a good,
because I can't say that the lyrics are terrible to it. It's just, I don't know. Like I said, it's the tonality.
Bum. Yeah, it's real. When you know what she can do, it feels way less.
That's kind of how it feels, and whatever. It's not like it is my worst song because I don't like that song. I'm sorry, Caroline. I don't like that song. I love a lot of your fucking songs because I know you're listening.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, that was one that I tried going back to it and I tried to keep an open mind on it, but it's just, it's not like she doesn't capture those moments. Like when she kicks into that verse, I don't particularly care for it, but she has another song. Hold on. On Pang. I think it's Hit Me Where It Hurts, where she dives into that same kind of vocal
low
scenario.
Register, yeah.
But it's just done in like this great, tasteful approach. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that, I'm sorry, tasteful sounds mean, but whatever, this is just my opinion. But like in that moment, it feels like it's a good contrast to the rest of the song.
I agree.
And Welcome to My Island, it just feels like that is the gravity behind the song.
And this is where, like, your initial thing of like me needing to embrace my dancier side, this is why I was kind of reserved about that, which is I actually think the dancier that Caroline Polachek gets, the less interested I am. Like the more of like,
wait,
that,
what are
like,
you saying? What are you saying?
The more of that kind of drum and bass, like, like, I mean, that's Fly to You, right? And there's a couple others on this record where there's a song that was in like the remix, I think, to Desire, Coma, which very similar. I think I'm less interested because I feel like those tracks give like less space for what I really love from her, which is, like you said, that like openness, the playfulness. When it feels like we're on a track already, I'm kind of, which is why Sunset Being So Great is so weird to me. But I think it's like nicely fusing both.
Yeah.
Anyway, I respect you. And I respect
you too. I think that's why we do this.
I'm still your friend. You've done both your underrated.
Yeah, I was gonna say
you got
time to cook.
Did I steal your thunder? Do you want
to
talk about
this? I can go
to
the bathroom really quick, and you can just talk to the audience.
How would you hear for this? I'm ready to announce myself.
I'll stick around.
My underrated,
that was me dropping in.
I have two runner ups here. The first runner up is Insomnia, off of Pang.
Underrated. Yeah.
What's wrong with you? You don't like it?
No, it's.
What's going on? You're very, this is not what I was expecting at all. Are you okay?
Insomnia is just boring.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. You cook. You cook, buddy.
No, yeah, you're taking my thing. You were supposed to go to the bathroom and you're still here. This is
all right. You're right.
Stay. No, I don't know, man. I'm telling you, Pang, to me, it's the moments that are that I don't expect. And I think Insomnia, it's not my most underrated. I should tail it.
I should clarify, when I say yuck, it's because this is your underrated song. I think this song exists very well on the album.
To me, underrated is, I think these songs should be talked about more. And I understand why. I think yuck. The reason you're saying yuck is the same reason why it's underrated. It's slow. It's in the middle of a record, more or less. I just find it very beautiful. When I talk about her being so ethereal and like transportive to me, a song like Insomnia does that. When it changes, it's like the kind of modals, and it goes to like major to minor, and she drops
unexpected
her
chords
voice.
For sure.
Yeah, the chord changes to me are so interesting, and that's why it really has this kind of like snake, like it's like watching smoke come off of a cigarette. It's so like random and kind of beautiful. It just kind of plumes out.
I like it. That was a very Caroline Polachek description of her own song.
You know what? I'm in the mood. Blood and Butter is my second runner up.
Not bad.
I think that like that little like chorus, like the Michelle Branch guitar. Mm-hmm. It's great. And it's fusing. I think that record is so interested in fusing these like real like mainstream, like capital M TRL mainstream pop acoustic moments with really weird
especially for Desire. Yeah.
And I find it very charming, very good. But Go is
bad. It's a slow burner. A little bit of a slow burner. But once it gets going,
I love it. But Go is a Dream is my underrated. I just think that song is beautiful.
You want to try to sing that part, or should I?
I want you to do it.
No, I'm not going to. That, yeah, when it hits that chorus, that's beautiful. It's breathtaking. It really is one of those type of moments to where just her ability to sing and convey this emotion and the idea of it being, you know, just like, I'd prefer you go as a dream. It's almost like I prefer dying in my sleep.
Yeah, it is like when you have a melody and like there, you know, so much of songwriting is tied to the melody, right? And sure. How you write to it, how you like it's. And I'm speaking from frustration because I had one of those moments where I wrote a song while I was working in the backyard in my head with the lyrics all laid out, and I had this melody that I loved, and I'm at the point now in my life where if I don't record things right away, I forget them, and I actually forget them even when I want to remember. That used to be my whole thing, right? As if I forget it, it's not good. Now I just forget everything, so it's not a good thing. And I'm
that's alarming to me, because you've always remembered all your shit.
And also forgotten most, but I am like desperate to find that melody, and I have the lyrics like written down, and I'm looking at them and I'm trying to search for the melody or just invent a new one. And it's proving to be impossible. And I'm just going to leave it and like let it float into the ether. And the reason I bring it up is when you find that melody, that's so simple. It's that. And when it goes low, like you don't expect her to go as low as she does so often, but it works so, so beautifully.
What I thought you were going to say is it's something that I run into is it'll take me forever to record some vocal melodies because I'm like, no, I can hear how it's supposed to sound. And just she does it. Maybe I'm taken away from her. Maybe she has to work harder. But I don't actually think that's the case. I think it probably comes very naturally to her, given the fact that I think for one of her songs, she said like, yeah, 1 a.m. she went in and recorded the vocals. Like, well, I already know I'm not that type of vocalist. I know a lot of people who are not that type of vocalist.
It's very, you know what it is too? When you hear like a really strong vocalist where like my like bugaboo is like the really powerful vocalist who does the like the runs and like the, I mean, the Christina Aguilera's of the world.
Yeah, I could tell based off of your hand gesture there.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about like, great pop vocalist like Whitney Houston, who also did this, although when she does it, I'm like, forever. Just sing probably as much as you want all the time. Yeah. But for as strong of a vocalist as Caroline Polachek is, I think she's very smart about picking her moments. And she can flex, but the flexes aren't... I mean, this is what I love about it. It's not flexing how good she is at singing. It is letting this the voice be the instrument that the song needs. Yeah. And that chorus, you're right. I mean, that chorus I could never cover because it is in the delivery, right? And it's in that really soft, brittle falsetto. Yeah. Hey, good. It's good.
I know I want to say more, but it's talking about something that's, while it is tangible, it's intangible. Like, you hear her do these, like, when you say flex, I don't hear her do any of those, like, Whitney Houston chest voice stuff. Like, her flex to me is the balance between her head voice and her chest voice. And for any listener to understand, like, this is my head voice, this is my chest voice, and finding that little middle ground and being able to balance it and swing it the way that she can, put in those little, like, fluctuations, those little flutters in the note structure to it. That's where she's got that handled so well, and the fact that she's able to apply it to this emotional atmosphere to all the songs, really exceptional.
And that's the kicker, right? That's where, like, the songwriter has to be acknowledged. It's one thing if this is just really, I mean, I hate to bring this up, but, like, when I hear certain Billie Eilish songs, it's like the, like, emotional resonance, and I'm like, I get this. I can buy into why younger people would get into this. But the lyrics to me are so rough that I'm like, man, it just falters.
That song I was talking about before, the lyrics are not necessarily spectacular, but her vocal performance is.
There's an adolescence to Billie Eilish that, I mean, she is young. She's a child, right? Maybe not anymore. I apologize. But to me, anyone that's, like, in their 20s, you're a child. Like, I don't know what to tell you. But
to me, anybody who's, like, 37 or under, child.
That's fair.
We're just a bunch of kids.
I'm boyish. I am. But I mean, that's where, again, like, an artist like Caroline Polachek in a song like this, like, you would, you know, cast it off as this, like, small little gem. But like you said, there's, like, a real emotional line to it that I can't help but get back to. But anywho, underrated because I just think there are other songs in her repertoire that people are more invested in one way or another. And I actually think I would want her to be known more for songs like that. But you know what? That's why I'm not popular or in charge of anything. Because what kind of world would that be?
You're in charge of a podcast.
And kind of.
Well, I'm sorry, you're second on this.
Yeah, you made it very clear you are the leader. And you know what? I accept you are the leader, buddy. You got
Take that Casey
alpha.
Crescenzo.
You're the alpha.
I'm coming for all of you vocalists and musicians.
So, I mean, you've already, again, what was your overrated one more time?
My overrated was
Fly to You.
Oh, yeah, it was Fly to You. Okay. Sorry, Dido.
Do you have any other? Because I've already mentioned it, but So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings is my overrated. And I really do love this song. I think it is hilarious.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's funny.
If you want me to throw in another one, you can go the track right after. Door.
Oh.
I did. You wanted me to throw in another one.
I regret this. No. Oh, wait. Can I
open another door and a door and a door and a door and a door? That.
Okay. You have to watch the video. This is one of those songs.
Okay.
You got to watch the video.
That could be. And honestly, while it is a little obnoxious to me that you keep saying opening another door into another door into another door, I get why she does it. Yeah, I like that I'm running through. And I get why she says opening another door into another door into another door.
Like an Escher-esque.
Like. Exactly, yeah, MC Escher. Yeah, I can see the symbolism behind it, and this is why I respect her so much as a lyricist. It's just kind of, if I'm just casually listening, it's a little redundant when that part hits. But I also think she fucking kills it on the last chorus of it. You know, where she does that into another door and another door and another door, and I'm running through.
I mean, that's if there's like a I'm doing like the kind of like slow shoulder shimmy, everybody, with this
dancing, baby.
There's some great moments like that. There's like slow jams on this album that it's hard for me. I actually think the other single, Ocean of Tears, which I also enjoy, to me, that's more on the side of what you're getting at. It's like the other single besides So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings that I'm like not as into, but then every time I re-listen to it, I'm like, oh, but it's pretty great. The Door to me is I love the surrealism of it. And I love that repetition because it pays off in that really beautiful like end melody.
Yeah, that I'm running through. Yeah.
And it's all just the, I mean, you've already mentioned it as a criticism, so it's hard for me to just say, but it's great. But it is like the endless repeat, right? Yeah. Of like desire and like this like endless journey and like search for something. And then when you get it and it's just like beautiful, like falling into the pocket. Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to, but So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings. Do you know, have you looked, what do you think is the Spotify listens for that track?
Oh, it's one of the, it's second, right? The first one isn't even off of either of the albums.
But
right?
But it is actually way bigger than the first. The first is off of the Charlie XCX, but it's that's like 10 million, doesn't count. The second, So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings, just ballpark. What do you think the listens are?
Let's see. I think my favorite one was probably, I'm going to say it's probably like, I'm probably wrong, but I'll go 102
million. 119
million. 119.
The next track, Bunny is a Writer, is 35 million. That is one of the larger, like,
that's a huge discrepancy. Yeah.
To rest. Yeah. And I,
yeah, that's a big delta right there.
It and it's, yeah. And it's just because that song is, it's good, but it is nowhere near what she is.
No.
Like at all.
And honestly, Bunny is a Writer, not a bad tune.
Ooh.
I
love Bunny is a Writer.
I got surprised by that one. I thought I was going to dislike it, but that's good.
So How You're Hurting My Feelings is just a, like, I think it does exactly what it's meant to do. It got me to listen to the album. It's the Trojan horse. It's like, hey, look, this is like kind of funny, like dance pop that is, you know, interesting, but it's also not like, it's not, there's nothing about that track that signals what Pang actually is.
I thought it would have been more, more cliche than it actually was based off of the song title.
Right.
You know, but having listened to it, I was like, no, you're getting a good message across.
And that, like, there's like a real emotional beat to me. Like, so much of it is about, like, you know, like long distance sexting. It's the second time, right? She talks about like sexting sonnets on Billions, which I love that line. But I think when she says, "You're the only one that knows me, babe," and the way she sings it, that's like real. I'm like, I get that. Like, it's like, I think it's impossible for her to not leave traces of that. But,
well, it's exactly what you said, like bringing up the term sexting. You better express that artistically or I'm going to just immediately go like, oh, that was a stupid word to use.
Sexting sonnets under the table. And ooh, it's just,
there you go, everybody. That's our first trying to sing like her.
I mean, I sing like her all the time and fail miserably. Apologies to my wife. We are in the best and worst. Are we? I mean, what are we doing here? Worst.
Let's just cover worst really quick. It's not even fair. My least favorite out of these two.
Exactly.
Least favorite. Desire.
Yeah.
You know, not saying anything. God, man, like, I can't remember how Pretty Impossible goes. I think I kind of judged it off of
Impossible.
I kind of judged it off of the song title. Like, and Caroline, when I judge a song title, it's because I come up with way more bad song titles than pretty much anybody I know. I know what impossible means. It's supposed to be M-I-M, as in Mike. Impossible. I get what we're doing here.
And you usually love that wordplay, that adjacent to wordplay. You're usually all in.
Honestly, I think I'm judging myself more than I'm judging any other artist now. Because when I see him do it, I go like, just stop. Just call it what it is.
I can sum up why this one didn't work for as well for me pretty quickly. There are some really great singles on this record. Yeah. I do not think it works well as an album. I'm
kind of on the same boat.
It lacks to me the cohesion, which it doesn't necessarily need, but it's just that so many of these songs feel like they're working at different ends. And part of that, I guess, is her power, is like how eclectic her stuff can feel. But I think there are lower lows, like mid lows, right? There are pretty high highs. Like I said, Sunset to me is like extraordinary. I love Billions. Yeah. I love Blood and Butter. I think
Butterfly Net, I fucking adore.
Butterfly Net is great.
Yeah.
I think Crude Drawing of an Angel. Like there, and I like.
I prefer Crude Drawing of an Angel over what was the one from the previous album?
Oh, Insomnia.
Yeah, like I prefer the vibe of that. Like, Tori, it just feels like it's a little more. Has a little bit more of a direction.
They're similar vibes. Yeah. It's way more dancier, and I think maybe that's also why.
I think it's what we talked about when we were talking about Thriller, where you were talking about how a lot of modern pop music is a little more minimalist, and I thought I was gonna like Desire a little more because it's so aspirational. It's really trying to go for bigger, larger pieces, but I think it's kind of detrimental to actually her sound. I like her minimalistic, brooding sometimes soundscape. Yeah. Where in this album, it just feels like it's just this album compared to the previous album is how I'm judging it. And so on this album, it just doesn't feel as I didn't feel myself holding my chest, doing the with arms wide open pose or whatever as much.
There's not as much space for those really weighty moments.
Yeah.
Right. There's just not enough. It's don't know what else to say. Billions, I know I've mentioned it, but I do think Billions was number two. If I was like kind of rating best songs on the track or on the album to Sunset, I just think it's the best version of what I think she was going for. Like you mentioned that like maximalist sound, there's a lot on that track, and it's got like a choir at the end. It's got the kind of reverse, I don't know. It's like some kind of reverse key or something in the production. Right. And it's got that like haunting ethereal melody that I don't think is as much on this record that I think it's great. And I just love like he loves like a painter. Like there's little lines like that where I'm like, she's in the pocket, man. She's good.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought of Kevin Devine so much on that song.
Oh, it's because he's like your husband. He writes like
I was thinking your husband and Billion Bees. Yeah.
Yeah. What is that line though that he says? Like your husband
drinks like a rider. But he writes like a banker.
I hope his pens all run. See, those two lines, fire. And then when he says, I hope his pens all run dry, I'm like, ah.
And that was, he sings in our register. So we were able to kind of.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Oh, man. So I feel like this is a unique position for us because I feel like this entire episode has just been how much we both like Peng. So what else do we say about Peng?
Man. I'll dive into a song we haven't talked about.
Okay.
But Caroline Shut Up.
Ooh, yeah.
That's, I don't know how to phrase this. That sounds like somebody's first song they write, but they just happen to strike gold. And I know this is not the case for her, but that song is so innocently perfect.
Yeah.
Like just I ask myself, why do I love you? And then I just tell myself, shut up. I'm like, that's about as cool and honest a lyric as you can run into.
And it's also,
help me with this.
I think if you have a songwriter friend who like presents a song like that, I think I am grimacing in a way where I'm like, maybe like keep searching. Like what else can we find? And it's, I feel like I'm doing a lot of like looking back today. I guess I do that all the time, but
that's all
like,
right.
When we were talking about the weirdness of Thriller, that there are so many moments on Thriller that are just odd and singular and they just happen and they go away.
Yeah.
And it makes that record feel so unique. It's like, you know, in great films where there's like little moments of chance and you're just like, oh, like the, what is it? Like the meteor in Jaws or something, or the shooting star. And you're just like, oh, that is, that's a beautiful thing. You're never going to capture that again. And you just know it's going to last forever. Yeah. I think that Caroline Polachek has that. Like she's able to embrace the weird and like the just totally random and improvisational. And that song to me is, again, it shouldn't work. But she has the execution of it.
Yeah, she has that uninhibited execution. She goes for it. And I don't even know if I want to say brave enough to go that direction. She just knows she can. There's bravery behind recording music regardless, but she just has this knack for taking a song like I said, no offense to the Caroline Shut Up, but it seems like that should be a mediocre song, and she just delivers it to a waiter. It's like, no, it is killing it.
I have another song that's, I think, the sister to that track. That's the same thing where I think it should not work out, but it does. And that's I Give Up, track 5.
Yeah.
I give up.
There we go. We're starting. We're getting looser, everybody.
I give up on you now. Yeah. And it's the boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
That rhythm section, that bass, yeah. I don't know if I've called out enough how good I think the production on this record is. And there's a lot of names. That's the other beautiful thing about
Daniel's this. The one I can think of. I think that's her like main partner on it.
Daniel Harley or Harley. He's on here a lot. And yeah. I think he is him and James. No, actually, no. On Give Up, it's Daniel Negro, N-I-G-R-O, and then James Stack. But I mean, this is a pop record as much as anything else. There's a lot of names on here, but it's...
But
it's not the machine, right? This is what we've referenced with like Beyonce, God Lover, but like it's like that whole list of Grammy nominees for best album. It's a series of well-running machines and Andre 3000.
Here's the thing. Caroline Polachek has a couple of nominations for Grammys.
She does. And I mean, this is not where I get convinced that the Grammys are great because I don't think she's won any either.
Yeah. New normal. New normal is one that I just want to touch on really quick.
Yeah.
The two cool things behind New Normal is the fact that this is written in 2019 and she has a song called New Normal before the pandemic kicks in.
Yeah.
Like she should be proud of that. It's like, you had some weird insight.
Yeah.
But if
Culture Robis, Caroline Amis. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That slide guitar is boss. I love that.
Okay. So that's what I like is the fact that she's switching between two scales,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, and it's just really, it's just an A major and a G major. And she just keeps switching in and out of, that's not easy to do in a pop song like this. Now, what is this?
So it starts A major.
Yeah. It's A major. I think it's basically the bass notes are A major or A, and I think it's E, D, and then G, D, C.
Yeah, and then when it goes, now what is this, club closing early? That's where it drops, right?
Yeah. And it's really just her switching between those two scales, but every time it changes that scale, it feels like something completely new. It's like got this perfect swing. That is such a good song. It was almost my favorite, but... I couldn't look past my favorite.
And when the slide comes in, when it goes back up, right?
Yeah.
Up to that A scale and it's higher and the slide goes up, it feels so lifting. And when it goes down, it's just like that perfect series of valleys and peaks, right?
Yeah. It's just another song in this album that I want to get this on vinyl. I really want to get this album on vinyl.
And no chorus. It's
no chorus.
No chorus.
The hook of the song is, now what is this?
Yeah.
You know, and the hook, I mean, that's the hook of the song, and it's just the shifting, the sway of the watery movement of this song.
I got to call out, now that we're on that track, I'm trying to find the, yes. So I'm not going to sing this, Caroline, I apologize, but the verse... Now, what is this robin you rescued? It's broken wing, not broken long. We search the room. Someone yells from the garden. The orange cat finished what he started. Like, what a nice little snippet of storytelling. That's right. We're having a good time.
I'm not doing that. I'm sorry.
We're having a good time, buddy. But it's just little things like that you don't expect. And it's like little mini epic of like life and death just playing out in like a little backyard scene. And it's just one verse of many of this track. It's so interesting.
Are we talking about Say Anything still?
We're talking about New Normal, buddy.
I know, buddy. You brought up the cat. I'm sorry.
I watch my yellow. I used to think that song was amazing. And the more
I
think about it.
That song is good.
Our episode, I'm never going to recover from our Say Anything episode. Because I tore down an idol that I had built up in my brain. I don't like Say Anything anymore. I don't even like that record anymore.
You're insane. You do. You do like that. You do like that.
Okay. I'm going through a lot of stuff.
And no matter what, Caroline Polachek, I'm certain that we we're going to give you a much better rating than we gave Say Anything.
I hope so. So I think that's where we are.
I'm not in hope mode anymore. I'm certain.
So are we ready for our break? We'll come back. We'll give what will be for a while our last out of 10 discography ranking. That's not true.
For a little while, just for like two episodes.
We're feeling very fatalist.
We're coming into the holidays. That's why Colton's being. We're getting ready for a Christmas episode and a New Year's episode. Some other changes.
It's all gravy, everybody. I'm going through changes. Okay.
Are you doing Ozzy Osbourne? Because I would
be honest, I didn't find the melody and I don't know what I did.
I think you were going for Ozzy Osbourne, but you should listen to the Charles Bradley version of
it. No, that's what I was singing. I was trying to sing the Charles Bradley version.
Okay, yeah. That's cold.
It's beautiful.
Man, now I want to do Charles Bradley. Rest in peace, Charles Bradley. We're going into quick commercial break. I hope everybody understands why we took an episode before we talked about Caroline Polachek, because I think you and I got to have a much more detailed discussion.
I'm happy that this went like it did. I think it made sense. All right. We'll see you on the other side of this, everyone.
When it comes to making the goings-on of the world entertaining, we got you covered. The Chit Show is a news, pop culture, geek culture, and music podcast hosted by none other than Danny, a.k.a. Danko, and me, Leo, a.k.a. DJ Brute. Tune in as we cover all sorts of topics with a very opinionated and wild twist. The Chit Show Podcast, where chit chat and shit shows come together for your entertainment. Tune in on your favorite streaming platforms with new episodes dropping every other Monday. Again, that's The Chit Show, a Baseblown Entertainment podcast. What happens when you get a bunch of obsessive music lovers sitting around a table and talking about every aspect in music? You get the Untitled Mixtape. Join Danko, Lewis, and Lorenzo in this educational but enjoyable podcast that encourages everyone to branch out and expand what they listen to. From deep dives to letting you know what is a bop or flop, the Untitled Mixtape boys are sure to take care of your music needs every Wednesday on your favorite podcast platform. The Untitled Mixtape, a Baseblown Entertainment podcast.
All right, we're back, everybody. This is the nitty gritty right here. This is when the podcast gets real.
It gets real. I buckle down. You buckle down. I change something randomly that I was so certain of.
I may have done the same thing. I went back to our Miller diagram.
Are we going off of 100? By the way,
no. That's for one song.
How could I forget?
For any diehard listener, if we're talking about one song, it's 1 out of 100. Mm-hmm. For an album, it's 0 to 5. And for a situation like this, in which we talk about multiple albums, 0 to 10.
All of which makes tons of sense, and we don't know what you're talking about.
Get ready for the next episode, buddy.
All right. Where are you at? I don't know. I don't know where you're at.
So I remember when we did Erykah Badu. Mm-hmm. I was really struggling because I was like, do I compare it to all these different rock acts that we've discussed? Do we just do it as a general music thing? Mm-hmm. But for some reason, I kind of used Lauryn Hill as my, I don't know, my standard to live up to. So in this moment, because Caroline Polachek reminded me so much of, I shouldn't say so much, but a decent amount of Haim. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to look back and see what my rating and your rating was for Haim.
Yeah, so, what was it? I'm curious.
All right. So for Haim, I gave an 8. You gave a 7.
Okay.
I think I'm sticking with 8. I think I have to, because I don't think that either one's head or shoulders above the other one.
I think my whole thing behind Haim, I'm reminding myself of this now, which was I love, like, I got something to tell you. I love that first record. I think I was more lukewarm on women in music.
Yeah.
Right. I think some of that record to
part me. Part 2, part 3, something like that.
I probably was part 3 or 2. I think that was a bigger reason why it dropped a bit. Even though I love so much Haim. And it's funny because I think what makes Haim to me so great is when they are coming from like as straightforward, as much as they're very maximalist, right? And their production in that, sometimes too much so. But they're a very straightforward band. They have like kind of Fleetwood Mac slash like just like yacht rocky kind of vibes, pop vibes. Yeah. Caroline Polachek, I think in some of like the other bands we've talked about where I at least have like a ton of admiration for it, is there's so much exploration mm-hmm. in the music that I really admire. And that comes from someone who I am not that way. I do not write in the mode that Caroline Polachek writes. And it's really I don't funny think I can.
I think you and I are very much so on the same plane when it comes to this. Like, I don't think you and I are really trying to break the mold.
And I think where we started, I think it's a big part of it, right? We started together playing music going, what can we do? What rules can we break? What can we do to make things as strange as possible? Mm-hmm. And it's almost like we like scared ourselves straight. Like we're both like
there was a little bit of that, like, hey, I know I can do this. Let me be the best version of myself.
Yeah, it's a funny kind of development, right? And I don't know what like the next, and this is maybe the other exciting thing about it. I have no idea what the next Caroline Polachek record sounds like. Like,
God bless you, Caroline Polachek, because that's such a cool place for a listener to come from.
It really is. And I think the bands where we've done whole discographies, at some point that becomes the problem, right? Like how many Hive songs, like the same amazing Hive song, can mm-hmm. I listen to until I'm like, all right. Like, yeah.
And then we have Max Bemis to where it's just like, please stop trying to be different, like on what you're writing. Just give us what we already know is good.
I didn't realize he was going to haunt this episode, but he is. He's always there in the wings rating. This is all big build up for me to say, I think eight. I think it's an eight too.
That's good. Based off of these two albums, I mean, it really is extraordinary. I don't even want to say musician, just artistic creation.
Yeah.
You know, like both albums, I hear a very intentional purpose behind what's being written, what's mm-hmm. trying to be conveyed. I think the biggest thing I like behind it is you can tell she's trying to heal through writing.
Mm.
And that is something that I respect so much more. Like, it's something I respect about you. I kind of think it about myself, but like most, I like to hear an artist writing from a place of vulnerability, but trying to stabilize themselves.
I love that. That's a beautiful way of putting that, man. I love that.
Thanks, dude.
And it is, I want to add to that. I do. You know what though? I have a special guest for you.
Oh,
hey, come here, Santa. Get a lucky, pull up another mic. Santa,
how have you been?
I'm great. You know, I don't think you were really that wrong about it. I think Insomnia's a great track. Not boring at all.
I thought it was boring. All right, lucky nobody invited you in.
Hey,
here.
Let's keep the producer on here. Santa's a special guest. Santa, we've covered this. Rob had a great whole thing for it. We don't got to go. Okay. Well, what are you here for, Santa? What's going on?
Well, my good friend Rob has an episode coming up, and he has a special announcement for us. Rob, why don't you tell everybody what are we doing next episode?
Rob, 1 second, Santa.
You're putting Santa in an awkward Santa, position.
The kid in me is nervous. I'm around Santa all of a sudden. So Santa, all of those years of waiting for you to show up at my house.
Ho ho.
Thank you for not giving me coal.
Ho ho ho.
So we're gonna be talking about a movie, oddly enough, but it's a very musical movie.
This is a music podcast, right? You guys talk about sports a lot.
And we still will, Santa.
And we will, Santa. Yeah. Come on.
Chill out.
You know what's funny? He told me that he's a Twins fan.
Interesting. You know what?
Weird.
He likes the cold weather.
I guess so. Not the Blue Jays, though. Boo. I hate the American League. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the American League. Whatever. Okay. Moving on.
So we're going to do, because it's Christmas time and Colton and I never know exactly what we're going to do, Santa. It falls on me on this episode. Like Christmas, it's my turn. I get to do the whatever. We're gonna do. I'm very flustered.
You're keeping us in suspense here, Rob.
That's what you do to me every year, Santa. I never know what I'm going to get.
There's an elf that's pulling on Santa's sleeves. He has to get out here, Rob. So let's make it quick. What do we got?
Muppets Christmas Carol. Okay. We're going to discuss, and I think it lends us to the opportunity to discuss writing a musical. I don't think we've actually had that discussion too often, to where you write, because that whole movie is really a musical.
Yeah.
And so we can kind of dissect, I think we have an opportunity to dissect what it takes to write a musical that way.
And the musical Christmas film is a very specific genre, and it's, I'm into this because... I mean, one, it's very different, and I do like that movie. I don't know if I'm certain I don't like it as much as you do, and I want to hear more. I fucking
love the Muppets so much. Muppets are... I should get a tattoo. I should get a tattoo. That's my next tattoo.
Here's what we're going to do. What we're going to do, everybody, we're going to cozy up by the fire. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Muppets Christmas. We're going to just enjoy all of our holiday bliss, and we're going to do it with you fine folks. Santa, do you have anything shit. Else?
Fuck you, Santa. Are we gonna do another Christmas draft?
You said you were in control of this, and you said I got this whole thing.
I have to choose the songs. I will try to get them out in a Instagram post the week before the episode comes out.
Is this going in the episode, you two? Or are you doing behind? It's very weird to know, Santa. Just watch it. Yeah. You know, he didn't used to be this way.
He's getting a little older. I think Colton, you may want to talk to him about who's next in line to be.
I have nothing to do with this, and yet I feel very protective of Santa, so I don't know what to tell. I'm very excited for Christmas draft. We're gonna do another Christmas draft, new songs, and I'm ready for vengeance from my boy Rob.
That's right. We'll figure out what the punishment is for the loser, but I feel bad that I don't have the songs now. I may do in post-production next week. I'll post-production at the end of the credits, like at the end of the credits, whatever, at the end of like the little outro music. Da,
da, yeah,
the music that's playing right now at the end of this, I'm going to put up the what we're doing for the Christmas drive.
Okay. Well, do we all want to give a final ho, ho, ho? Santa, do you want to lead us in a ho, ho, ho?
Ooh, okay. 1, 2. Ho, 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 ho.
Motherfucking ho.
Ho, ho. As Caroline, pull the check. Ho, ho. Please be over.
Oh, it's my cue. Oh, ho, ho. This is Santa Claus speaking on behalf of Colton and Rob. They are going to do another Christmas draft of songs we all love but must choose which is better. Okay, I think we all can understand why I'm not going to keep that going. But we are going to be doing Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, Feliz Navidad, Little Saint Nick, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, Donde Está Santa Claus, Run Rudolph Run, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, Carol of the Bells, I'll Be Home for Christmas, and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Merry Christmas, everybody. I apologize for the Santa.